Morning about the soldier. Freedom isn't free, and that's why on Veterans Day or the first Sunday after Veterans Day, we always honor those in our churches who served in our military. Many of you that are gathered here today, as you've already seen, they've served in the military. And while serving your tour of duty, you found yourself a man or a woman under orders. If I use the term man, I'm using it generically, okay? And I'm so thankful today for my military training, my experience, and for the things that they taught me in the Marine Corps. Things like faithfulness, courage, and discipline. Those things helped to form some real values in my life, and they have made me a much better man and a much better Christian. The Bible talks about the Christian being a good soldier. If you would look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Apostle Paul said, "Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth into battle, and that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." God is a generational God, and one generation touches the next generation. Church, we're chosen, and we're chosen to be good soldiers, and anyone that's ever served in the military, they know what I'm talking about. When you're chosen to be a soldier, there are no suggestions, and there are no suggestions in the Bible either. God commands, and we do what he commands in obedience to his word. Somehow, that has gotten lost in the shuffle of today's economy. And we have arrived at the Laodicean church age, the lukewarm, half-hearted church age. But the Bible says you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Aren't you glad that you belong to Jesus? Aren't you glad to be a part of the triumphant, victorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you're no longer on your way to hell, but you're on your way to heaven because you're in the kingdom of God? Go on and praise him. You are a soldier chosen by God to do his work. And as a preacher of the gospel, it is my responsibility to remind you of that from time to time. We're in a war, and there is a real enemy. And the devil is the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The scriptures are very clear. And the scriptures tell us and warn us about the battle that we're in. The battle is real. And the apostle Paul said we are to suit up, put on the whole armor of God. And then we are to fight the good fight of faith. My subject this morning, the soldier. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings upon this great nation. We thank you so much for those who have served, for those that are serving now. And Lord, for the people in the church who have served, the preachers, Lord, and those who have borne the heavy load in days gone past, Lord, who are now in heaven. Lord, we thank you for all of those, and we stand upon their shoulders today, preaching, proclaiming the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that your hand has been upon this nation, that your hand is upon this nation. And as long as the gospel is preached, your hand will continue to be upon this great nation. Bless us today. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits. Become committed to what we are all about, building your kingdom. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, during my tour of duty in the United States Marine Corps, I found myself a man under orders. And that was never time that they asked me whether or not I would like to take a hike. They didn't ask me what I wanted served for breakfast. They didn't ask me what time I wanted it to be served. And they didn't ask me what time I would like to get up. They never asked me if I would like to go on patrol. They didn't ask me what I wanted to eat. I just ate whatever they served because I was a man, and I found myself a man under orders. It was all a matter of orders, And they said, at a certain time and a certain place, you will be there, and you will do this, and you will do that, and you will do whatever we tell you to do. It was all a matter of orders. And all Scripture taken together shows us to be a part of such an organization. The church is like a military organization because we are a people under orders. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That we're to cast down imaginations and high thoughts and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge that we have of God. The Bible says we're to put on the whole armor of God. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a real devil, and he's out to destroy you. And you have to get suited up and let the devil know, I'm violent. And what you're trying to take from me, you're not taking it, because I'm putting my foot down. I'm a man under orders, and I've got authority, and I've got the power of heaven behind me. I've got the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on, praise him. I've got the blood. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Word of God. I've got some weapons that are mighty through God, and I'm taking back what belongs to me. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. The Bible talks about the church being a glorious, triumphant, victorious church. See, we're in a war, and there's a real enemy. He's called the devil, and he's trying to destroy everything that is good. But the church, praise God, the church has been given power from on high, and the church will prevail. But if we're going to be, prevail, we've got to be battle ready. And we've got to stay suited up at all times. Marine Corps has a slogan, first to fight. They send the Marines in first. Why does our nation do that? It is because the Marines are an elite strike force. And they have been trained to be just that. And they are to go in on the very first wave. They're trained like that. They've got slogans and symbols and emblems that tell us that who we are. Things like first to fight, always faithful, battle ready at all times. They're Marine Corps slogans, and you're expected to live by them, and you're expected to live up to them. If a Marine doesn't keep himself in shape, he doesn't make it, because he is required to be prepared and battle ready at all times. I learned some great lessons while I was in the Marine Corps, and they helped me to survive the war and Vietnam combat there, and they've also empowered me as a Christian. God has talked to me over and over again about my military experiences, showing me how to win the battles of life by using strategy, by using my weapons, and by using the things that he has placed in my arsenal. Hallelujah. And just like the military, Christians, they must be prepared, they must be battle ready at all times, to survive the battles of life. There is a battle going on. This is not some Sunday school picnic and tiptoe through the tulips. This is a war that we're engaged in. And we cannot wait until we're in the heat of the battle to get ready. We must stay ready at all times. That's why reading your Bible is so important. That's why prayer and fasting are so important. That's why assembling in the house of God, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as some do, as you see that day approaching. We're in the end times, and the devil is trying to come down and show off, but God's going to show up, and he's going to show off, because I've read the book, and God has the last word. The church shall prevail. Hallelujah. We're facing a real enemy, the devil. He has an army of demons, and he wants to destroy everything in your life that is right and that is good. He has no respect of person. He has no respect for your way of life. He has no respect for you, your life, or your loved ones, and you need to know that. Because once you realize that, it will cause you to get real serious about the warfare that you're engaged in. Treat him like an enemy. Don't wait for him to come. Go out and let him know, I'm on the offensive. A lot of people think about the gates of hell shall not prevail. you know, against us. And it's like we're afraid he's coming. No, we're not afraid. Praise God. We're battle ready. We're suited up and we're on the offensive and we're taking the gospel. And the whole church needs to get involved in that because you're in a warfare. Somebody go and praise God. You see, everything is up for grabs. And the purpose of hell is to destroy it all. That's why I preach the word of God, to remind you over and over again that you cannot let your guard down. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy America and our way of life. Have you realized that yet? We have freedoms in America and we enjoy things in America that no other nation in the world enjoys. Thank God for our military. Thank God that they have fought and continue to fight to protect and defend our way of life. Thank God for the church that preaches and proclaims the gospel of the kingdom of God. Thank God for the people in the church that serve him. Some of them not being seen, but in the background, just ministering here and ministering there. Like Sister Carolyn Edwards, bringing little boys to church, and one of them that she brought, he got saved and he got a great award here. What you gonna be when you grow up, Jose? I'm gonna take Commander Phillips' job. Hallelujah. He's already got a vision. He's already got a dream. He's already caught hold of what God is calling to do. And he said, I'm ready to go. And he's being trained and he's being prepared and we're getting battle ready. Praise God. Because the war will continue to intensify as we draw nearer to the end times. Amen. God is a great God. And America's in trouble because as of a nation, we have forgotten some time-honored values. America doesn't need bigger bombs. We're going to have them, but we don't really need them. America doesn't need bigger planes. Right now, we better get some, but we really don't need them. America needs to return to the Bible and the God of the Bible. Have you ever realized how God has protected this nation when the chips were down, when it looked like they're in Normandy and it looked like at Hiroshima and it looked like in the great battles of the past and when our nation was founded and they shot at General George Washington. One man said, I had him in my sight five times. I'm an expert marksman. He was an Indian scout. He said, and I shot him, but I couldn't hit him. That they never got touched. God protected him. There's some things you can't touch because there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. And we'll stay suited up. We'll stay prayed up. And we can just get enough people together. Praise God. The army of the Lord Jesus Christ shall arise. Say it. We shall arise. Say it again. We shall arise and set forth God's kingdom on this earth. Hallelujah. America needs revival. And that's what revival is all about. America needs some godly men and some godly women. And America needs some soldiers, preachers of the cross, men and women who will be faithful to the truth of God's word. We don't need to compromise it. We don't need to compromise anything. When you become half-hearted, you soon become the faint-hearted. The next thing you know, you'll be taken out. If you'll just stand up tall and if you'll just realize the weapons of your warfare, God said, having done all to stand, stand. And that comes sometimes in life. You'll just have to stand on the principles of this word, no matter what others say, no matter what others do, no matter where others go or what they participate in. Say, as for me and my house, hallelujah, we're going to serve the Lord. America needs some preachers that are red hot, some warriors, hallelujah. When Nineveh was rotting at the core, all God needed was a Jonah. When Israel was being held captive down in Egypt, God sent Moses with a message to deliver them. And when he did, it was all over for Pharaoh. Amen. When the bones were so dry that God asked the prophet, can these bones live again? Ezekiel said, thou knowest God. God said, if I can find a man with enough faith to preach to these dry bones, then they can live. And when the prophet began to speak, a great army arose. God needs some prophets. God needs some men with some spine. God needs some men, hallelujah, and some women that will say, we are not giving in. We are not giving up. We are part of the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are soldiers of the cross, and we're going to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, because if we'll work with God, God will work. Go and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe that a great revival can come to this land and that the church can make a tremendous difference. I believe that prayer and the preached word of God and holy living can bring revival to the church and a spiritual awakening to this nation. I believe that. And I believe I'm speaking to a generation who can rise up and be real and make it happen. We need some people to be real. We don't need entertainment. It's important to have that, but you really don't need it. Let me tell you, when you get down to it's just you and the battle that you're in, you won't be concerned about entertainment. You will be concerned about surviving. There will be an adrenaline that will kick in. I feel that all the time. I got an adrenaline. Sometimes I just get so happy about what I'm doing, praise God, that I just overextend myself. It's like a pump inside of me. Boom, 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 boom. Like two big cylinders just pumping energy into me. And sometimes, you know, Jesus even said, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes I realize I forget that I'm not 25 anymore. I'm 72, but I got a pump inside of me. And he pumps that well, and that well springs up into a river. How many know what I'm talking about? That the Holy Ghost can give you that energy, the refreshings of the spirit that Isaiah talked about. Hallelujah. We need some real men and women, young and old, who will stand up and proclaim, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'll tell you something. When I was a little boy growing up, I guess I was a man under orders. I didn't say, Daddy, do I have to go to church today? Daddy, we going to church? Daddy, we going to revival? I'll tell you what, when church time came, this old boy knew he was going to church. When revival came, I knew I was going to church. It didn't matter about the ball games. Didn't matter about the dances. It didn't matter about any of that stuff the world was doing. My daddy carried me to church. And my mother was there. The family was there. Praise God. Let me tell you, it made a difference in my life. And when I faced the storms of life, guess what? That ball game couldn't save me. I got to play ball. None of that could save me. None of the music that I played could save me. What did save me was the hand of God, because mother and daddy, the Bible says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And God said, if you have a thirst for righteousness, he said, then I will take care of your seed. And God's hand will be upon your seed if you will serve him. See, there's nothing that can stop the church. There is nothing we cannot do without, if we have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There are no devils we cannot cast out. There are no disease that with the anointing we cannot heal. There are no rivers that we cannot cross. There are no nations that we cannot preach to. I want to go back to Africa so bad. My heart just longs to go there, but I got other things on my plate. But I got plans to go, praise God, and I got invitations to go, and I got people waiting for me to come. Hallelujah. I got something to say. I'm going to preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, we got people starting churches. We need some teachers. Maybe I'll just get a team of preachers. Amen. Teachers, and we'll go around and teach them something about the word of God. The church is here for one reason. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell can't stop it. Look at Mark 16:17. I love the Great Commission as it's given here. I was talking about some things that the church can do. Let me show you what we can do. Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? That was weak. Are you a believer? Yes. Hallelujah. I'm talking to some people now in a Pentecostal church. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. What does that mean? It means you're so full of the Holy Ghost. That I'm plugged into another world and I'm so full of God that all I've got to do is think about it. I'm already tuned in and I'm over there. Well, you're here. Well, I'm here, but let me tell you, I'm over there too. And if you don't believe it, the Bible says signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. And that's one of the signs right there. They shall take up serpents, verse 18. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. We need the church to get serious about slaying sin, sickness, and disease. We have the anointing. We have the power. We have the name. We have the blood. We have the word. But are we going to become true soldiers of the cross that are totally committed no matter what the cost, no matter what I go through, no matter how hard the battle, no matter how intense the suffering, am I willing to stand up, suit up, and go forward in Jesus' name? That's the church, go on, praise God, that God is looking for. Hallelujah. So church, we just need to rise up and do what the Lord has called us to do. The church is an organization, or an organism, I should say, under orders. We must understand our purpose, and like a good soldier, we must do what we've been called to do. And what you do is important. The devil will tell you it's not important, but let me tell you, getting some people trained, teaching Sunday school, working with the little kids, children's church, youth ministry, and everybody coming together, bringing five generations together in the church at one time, ministering to everybody on that level, and then bringing them into a corporate worship where they see grandma, woo, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And they see their dad, oh, God, thank you so much for answering my prayer. And they see the their parents leading and placing their tithe in an offering plate, amen. And they see the Christian life being lived out, and when others are having problems and they're having the same problem, they see God answer the prayer. And they watch God as he takes their family through the storms of life. I can remember my mother praying when we were in little boys. I was growing up, and she was praying, oh, God, you've got something better for my family than this. Oh, God, help us. God bless us. God move us. And God just kept moving us and just kept blessing us. Daddy worked, and mother worked at home. Daddy prayed. Mother prayed. They were faithful in the church, and I just watched God work. And one day I looked at my daddy and I said, boy, I said, you messed up. I was 37 years old. I said, you've had a living Bible before you all your life. That man right there has shown you how you're to live your life. And when I realized that, Brother Clark, I told myself, I'm going to be that man. I'm going to be that man. I've made enough mistakes in my life, but I'm going to be that man that my kids can look at, my grandchildren can look at, and others can look at and they say, that's a man of God. That's a man that loves God. That's a man who serves God. Do you want that testimony? Then suit up, praise God. Put on the whole armor and realize you're in a battle. Look at what Paul said again, 2 Timothy 2 and 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth, and I just told you, you're in a war, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. That doesn't mean we shouldn't work. That means you don't get entangled with the yoke of bondage. Paul talks about that in another place. We're soldiers under orders, and we must come to the place that we must say, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. See, when I joined the United States Marine Corps, everything was okay till I arrived at Parris Island, South Carolina. And that's when they told me, Mama and Daddy are not here to take care of you anymore. You belong to us, and you will do what we tell you to do from now on. They were some of the nicest people you ever met before I got on that island. But after I got there, let me tell you something. Everything changed because I found myself a man under orders. I had a friend that I grew up that had been into the Marine Corps. I said, tell me what it's like. He said, Jerry, let me tell you the truth. I cannot tell you how bad it is. And I got there the first day, and, you know, we hadn't got assigned our drill instructors yet. And I said, man, this is not so bad. They took us and they fed us. They took us and let us take a little nap. But somewhere in the middle of that nap, they come in there with some big trash cans and some billy sticks, and they started beating on the, get up, get up, get up, get out of those racks. And, man, after that, let me tell you, it was on. Amen. I found myself a man under orders. Amen. The church is on earth under orders, and we're here to establish God's kingdom. And the world needs to see some kingdom citizens. Amen. The world is filled with sin, and it needs to see some holy people. Amen. The world is filled with sickness and disease, and it needs to see some healthy people. The world is filled with hate, discord, and it needs to see some people, some loving people that belong to the church. See, Abraham didn't have to save one sodomite. All he had to do was find 10 righteous people. He said, God, will you spare that wicked city for 10? God said, yeah, I'll do it. He stopped there. I believe if it got down to one, God would have kept on working with him, because God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's the mercy of God. It is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness is to the children's children. Hallelujah. And if God will, people, if they will stand up and suit up, God will send revival, and we can take this nation back to God. See, our nation's in trouble, and we need to realize that. The Bible says that all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Just look at our streets. They've been turned into hell. Look at the entertainment centers and the murders that are going on. They've been turned into hell. Look at our school system. It's been turned into hell. There are abortions, there are drugs, there's murders. There's 1,000 things that says that this nation, America, is being influenced by hell. Why doesn't the church rise up, praise God, come together in unity and proclaim the everlasting gospel on the job, in the marketplace, on the street? Tell people about Jesus. I'm so glad to be saved. I wished I could get saved all over again. Every time I lead somebody to the Lord, I get it. I've been saved hundreds, maybe thousands of times. Every time somebody comes into the kingdom, oh, it just blesses my soul so much. Get excited. Get a passion. Hallelujah. Say, I'm part of the army of God. Woo! Go and praise him, church. Amen. We are soldiers chosen by God to make a difference. There are three things that I learned in the military that will make a good soldier: faithfulness, courage, and discipline. First of all, faithfulness. The soldier must be faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, David, for that artwork there. Faithfulness means to be faithful to God and to show up on time and to be ready for your duty. Report for duty. Hey, you can't go on liberty this weekend. You got to report for duty, Sergeant Nelson. Really? You didn't ask that question. You just showed up. Hallelujah. See, whatever comes or whatever goes, we must remain faithful to the Lord and to his cause. And no matter how much comes against us and how much difficulty there may be, we have got to remain faithful. The soldier cannot be slack in his duty. Look at 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, we got people doing all kind of crazy stuff, and they say, I'm saved. Well, thank God I'm not the judge. God is the judge. But when I read this book, you know, my Bible says, judge righteous judgment. There are some things are sin, and they are sin for everybody. See, you cannot be double-minded. You have to choose to love God, to suit up, show up, and report for duty. It's your duty, and there are no excuses for anyone to lay out of the church. Thank God for live stream and for Facebook Live and all the technology we have. But let me tell you, that's just for information when you can't get here. If you want the real deal, come into the anointing that's in the church. Come show some love and receive some love from brethren and sisters of like precious faith. It's a precious faith, Hallie. I'm like old brother David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I wonder why God ever chose me. I said, God, you had so many you could choose from. Why in the world would you choose me? And I said, that person's more qualified to pastor than I am. They are more qualified. I think God saw some qualities in me that was in the Marine Corps. Faithfulness, courage, and discipline. I can't figure out why he called me yet, but I'm so glad he did. He just might have wanted to keep me in church. Amen. So I could fight the battles of life and come out a winner. But we are here for one purpose. Amen. And that is to establish God's kingdom on earth. And too many of us have become slack in our duty. You should never allow the world to dictate your lifestyle. Let me slow down and say that real slow. You should never, never, never allow the world to dictate your lifestyle. No matter how many car races, no matter how many ball games, no matter how many dances or piano recitals your kids are involved in, don't let the world dictate your lifestyle. Amen. We are to be faithful to the house of God. We've got people who sing in the church on Sunday and who sing in the nightclubs on Monday. Amen. That's so confusing to our children. That's so confusing to our grandchildren and the generation to come. We've got too many Christians that go back and pick up what they laid down when they got saved. And Jesus has something to say about that. Jesus said, you are neither cold nor hot. You are lukewarm. And Jesus said, you want to know the truth of the matter? He said, even though you're part of my church, you make me sick, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's something about passion and being hot and being committed to God. The Lord wants his people to be faithful to his kingdom, to his church, and to his cause. Faithfulness is being true to a cause. I joined the Marine Corps because I felt like the freedom of this land was something worth fighting for. I really believe that. And when I arrived at boot camp there at Parris Island, South Carolina, there was a slogan there which read, Semper Fidelis. And I wondered, well, what does that mean? And then I was told, that means always faithful and don't you ever forget it. And I was told that I was a part of the world's greatest fighting force, the United States Marine. I was told, and we even sang a song, that the gates of heaven, they are guarded by the United States Marines. See, it means something to be a Marine. They teach you that, and then we sing about it. If the Army and the Navy ever look on heaven's scene, they will find the streets are guarded by the United States Marine. Of course, we know that's not true. It's not in the Bible. But they taught us that anyway. They were training us. They were making us into a fighting machine. They said, you want to know the definition of a Marine? And they call you maggot and words like that. That is the world's greatest fighting force, the world's greatest fighting machine, a little green amphibious monster out of the wild blue happenings that thrives on death and destruction, a one-man wave of destruction made up of blood and guts and some other things I can't mention. Amen. We were taught, we were trained, it was instilled in us. They were making a product. We were told, whenever you go outside that gate, whenever you get liberty, we want your shoes shine. We want your uniform squared away. You're a part of something great. So keep your shoulders square and act like and look like a Marine. Listen to me, church. We belong to something great. We're part of something wonderful, the kingdom of God. We're soldiers of the cross, and we are chosen. And we ought to walk right, we ought to talk right, we ought to look right, and we ought to act right. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to be faithful to God and faithful to one another and faithful to the church. No matter where we are, we should be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. But not only must the church be faithful, secondly, the church must be courageous. The church must have a soldier. He must have courage. Courage is born out of conviction. Let me say that again. Courage is born out of conviction. It takes courage for a soldier to go into battle. It takes courage for our young people and the people in the church to stand up and be a Christian in the world that we live in today. But that type of courage can only be born out of conviction. Our society is filled with ungodly filth. And things have never been any worse than they are right now. And if you're going to be a Christian, you ought to have a conviction that leads to courage. You have to make decisions not to engage in certain sins. That takes courage. There's a difference now between being afraid and being a coward. See, cowards never, never, never make a soldier. Never. They cannot make a soldier. It takes courage to fight a war. It takes courage to stand up for what is right. I didn't know what my reaction would be the first time I came under enemy fire. I believed what I was doing was right, though I had a conviction. I wasn't afraid to fight. I had been trained to fight. I didn't want to die. So whatever the fear may have been in my life, it was overcome by courage. Amen. And I believe what I was doing was right. And that gave me the courage to stand and to fight and to be faithful to the cause. Courage is born out of conviction. And when we have a love for God, we will stand and do what is right because of courage and conviction. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me or controls me, no matter what I face. Paul was saying, my love for Christ is so great that it just causes me to live this godly lifestyle. He's done so much for me. He saved me when I was lost in sin. He took my life and transformed it by his glory. He reached way down into the miry clay and lifted me out and put my feet on the rock to stay. He is the Son of the living God. I've got a conviction, and that conviction controls me. And that conviction causes me to love him and to want to do something in his kingdom that will help suffering humanity, because people are sighing, crying, dying. They're broken. They're fragmented. And they need the word of God. They need what we have. They need Jesus. This nation needs to come back to this Bible. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God, because you have a conviction today and you're sitting in the house of God. Not only do we need to be faithful, and not only do we need courage, but lastly, a soldier must have discipline. A soldier must have discipline. We live, church, in the generation of the undisciplined. Trial marriages, divorce, rebellion is rampant. And people do whatever they feel like is convenient. People are so rebellious, self-centered, selfish. And they think it's all about them. No, it's all about him. And then it's about us. And then it's about them. Reaching out, touching the world with the power of the gospel. When I joined the Marine Corps, they put us in boot camp for 12 long weeks. Fall in, fall out, get up, make a head call, swim with a pack on your back, march, run, 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 and keep on running, march, 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 keep on marching for 10 and 12 hours a day. I couldn't understand what was going on. But for 12 weeks, they were making me into a fighting machine, a United States Marine. That's what they were after the whole time. And when I got to Vietnam, those things that they taught me, they paid off. I was trained to do things instantly. I was trained to follow orders without question. And those things helped me to make it. Those things helped me to help others to make it also. See, we're soldiers in the army of God. And God doesn't ask us to do something. We are given commandments on how to live, what to do. And the whole thing is being a disciple. And the thing about being a disciple is to instantly obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. I saw that and I love that. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I like to fish for men. Amen. Like to fish for fish, but I just love to win souls now. That's what drives me. That's my passion. What can I say? It's just a joy. Amen. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. And when I saw that part, I said, Lord, I'm going to take this book and you promised you would make me into something. The Bible says in the great house, they're not only vessels of gold and of silver, but some of wood, some of clay, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a vessel therefore purge himself from these, the things of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto God, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. I saw in my daddy a written epistle. And I looked at him, and I said, boy, I was back from a war. I was 37 years old. I said, boy, that's the way a man ought to live his life right there. It affected me. And I said, God, help me to affect my children like that. Discipline is a quality of life that brings courage. And when a man is committed to Christ, he really loves God and he will obey God. If you're going to be a soldier, you need faithfulness, courage, and discipline. There will be hardships, so don't listen to that soft-spoken voice that denies the struggle. The struggle is real. The struggle is intense, and the struggle is intended, and it's a battle, church, because we aren't home yet. We're on the enemy's turf, and that's why we're told to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also called, and have professed a good profession among many witnesses. Lay hold on eternal life. See, we're not home, but I got some good news. If you will stay faithful, if you will remain courageous, and if you will live a disciplined life, you will be a part of the greatest victory of all times. One day we're going to march down streets of gold. We're going to gaze upon walls of jasper and gates of pearl. And we're going to be home, 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 home at last. That's the dream of a good soldier. I got a calendar at home. I probably ought to bring it sometime. All it is a helmet with 100 days on it and two combat boots sticking out. And it says, show it. It means I'm going back to the world. In 100 days, if I survive this place, I'm going home. Hallelujah. That's the dream of a good soldier. And that dream, it helps him or her to endure the hardships and the heartaches of the battle. Home at last. Home at last. Let us stand. We give honor to our veterans today, the greatest fighting force in the world, the United States military and its personnel. Thank you for serving our nation. Thank you for the sacrifice that you have given. Thank you. Some people don't see your war that's going on inside of you now, but I do. And God sent me to help people like you because I've been through the battle and God delivered me. And church, I want to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, and to endure to the end. Today is also the Lord's Day, and I want to give honor to our Lord and our Savior, and to this flag that represents His kingdom. I give honor to the church. I give honor to the body of Christ. I give honor to God and His kingdom. Jesus said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So may the Lord take us as we are and make us into what we ought to be, victorious soldiers of the cross. May God bless you, and may God bless America.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Ricky.
I give myself away.
It's all right for you in the military to salute indoors, uncovered. Ready? Armed. Order, arms. Thank you. Ready, arms. Order, arms. We love you, Jesus. We salute you. You're our commanding chief. It's been a special service. Let's come down and as Pastor Rick is singing that, I give myself away. Say, Lord, all that I am or ever will be, I give it to you to use in your kingdom.
I give myself away.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this nation. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you, God. We're a part of something real and significant. Hallelujah. Thank you for your church, Lord. Bless the other churches as they gather in this community, Lord. Bless the body of Christ across the world. Bless this nation, God. Let us rise up to the challenge that's before us. Hallelujah.